Thank you, Brother Jack. It's nice to be here this morning with each one of you, and I welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Kaufman says that I have the last word on the subject of this morning, but I agree wholeheartedly with our Brother Jack that says whether we understand that or not, has nothing whatsoever to do with our salvation. Which brings me to the subject this morning. Not too long ago at my place of employment, I was in a discussion with one of my fellow workers, and we discussed the gospel of Jesus Christ on many occasions. And he asked me a question. He says, "Frank, what does it take for me to get to heaven?" And immediately a two-word answer flashed into my mind. But then I did something that is dangerous for me to do. I started to think. And I thought, well, now what he wants me to tell him is that you have to go down into the waters of baptism with an authorized representative of Christ and be immersed in the water, and then you have to come forth and you have to have hands laid upon your head for the reception of the Holy Ghost to become a member of Christ's kingdom, which is true. You know, I was thinking, right, that's true. And I went along a little further in my thinking, wondering, you know, just what should I tell this man? You know, what's going to get him to heaven? And I thought, you know, there are many, I'm afraid, that are baptized by those having authority that's going to be lost. So that's not the answer, is it? And there are many who have had hands laid upon their heads for the reception of the Holy Ghost who aren't going to make it. That's not a very good answer, is it? So I finally got back to my first impulse, and I believe that it was given to me of Christ. What does it take for you and I to get to heaven? And it's just two words, brothers and sisters. Pleasing God. Pleasing God. How do you get in good? How do you get in good stead with your boss at work? You got to please him, don't you? You got to make him happy, don't you? And the children out here, how do you get along with your parents? You got to please them. You got to make them happy. Ain't that right? And it's the same thing with us as we try to get our lives right with Jesus Christ. To get ourselves qualified for eternal life. And that's why we're here this morning, brothers and sisters. You know, we're not here to hear Frank Fan preach. We're not here to socialize one with another. You know, deep down, the reason that we're here this morning is to find out how we can attain eternal life, because that's our goal, isn't it? And I attest to you this morning, the only way that we're going to do it is by pleasing our Heavenly Father. Now it sounds awful simple, but it's a little bit more involved. Because by pleasing Him, we're probably going to do and have to do all these things that flash through my mind that I should be telling him in the first place. And when I told this friend of mine these two words, he kind of looked at me with a blank look in his face. And he says, "That's just what I ask you." You know, he really knew the answer, didn't he? He really knew that. He wanted me to tell him what specific steps that he needed to take. And you know this morning as well as I do what it takes. It takes us pleasing God. I'm going to open this morning and kind of use as a scripture reading the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. And I'm going to start reading at the sixth verse. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time." And you know, brothers and sisters, that's the first step. That's the first step that we have to take to please our Heavenly Father, and that is to be humble before him. Whenever we're approaching him for an answer to something, whenever we're approaching him to ask him something, we have to do it with humbleness. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And he's out there. That devil is out there and he is seeking. And he's especially seeking those who are seeking after Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that he wants to win over. Those are the ones that he wants to detour along the way, because those are the ones that can hurt him the most. Now, he don't have to spend a lot of time out here with the drug dealers. He don't have to spend a lot of time out there with the ones who commit horrendous crimes. They're already under his control. So that leaves him free. That leaves him free to try to get into you, yours and mine's life. To try to lead us down that path that leads to destruction. Oh, and it may not be an obvious path. It may not be one with a flashing sign above it saying, "This path leads to destruction." Oh, it'd be easy if that was the case. But he's going to subtly try to lead us off of the path of righteousness. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, one of the first things that we have to do, one of the first things that we have to do to please our Heavenly Father is really to believe that he is. To believe that he's capable of doing those things for us that we can't do for ourselves. That he's stronger than we are, that he's wiser than we are, that he knows more than we are. Turn with me, if you will, to John. The 14th chapter. And I'm going to read the first through the sixth verse. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And this is Jesus Christ speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And you have to believe this. You have to believe this to please our Heavenly Father. And I had an example of this. My father-in-law. He's not a saint. He's been on dialysis for a couple of years, and it's been awful hard on him. So he's decided to quit. And I went over and talked to him yesterday morning about his decision. And I said, "Do you know what the consequences of this is?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I know. I know that the Lord has prepared a place for me. I know it too. He doesn't know everything in these books. He is sinned. But he has pleased our Heavenly Father. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And I'm afraid that a lot of us are like Thomas. A lot of us have to be shown the way. A lot of us have to be hit upon the head, I think, to be shown. And Jesus saith to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if we know, and if we believe this, we are a long step towards pleasing our Heavenly Father and gaining ourselves a place in His kingdom. A long way. In the Book of Mormon on page 220, and I've read this so many times my book almost falls open to it. Starting with the 13th verse, "To please our Heavenly Father, we must believe in God. To please our Heavenly Father, we must believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. We must believe that He is all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. We must believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend." And sometimes I wonder when I listen to some of our discussions within the Church of Christ, if we really believe this. Or do we sometimes try to think our way up to God's level? "And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them." And the second thing I believe that we must do to please our Heavenly Father is to have faith. It's our duty and our responsibility as members of Christ's kingdom to have faith in Him. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that deals with faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I dare say this morning that we probably haven't seen heaven. We imagine, we read about it, we study about it in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelations, but we haven't seen it. But we sure hope for it, don't we? We sure hope for it. And it is our faith that makes us believe that there is a heaven up there. And that there is a place prepared for you and I up there. But without this faith, the Bible says, and I'm going to read a little bit, it's impossible to please Him. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then I'm going to skip down to the sixth verse because our time is getting short real fast. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And what's my subject this morning? Pleasing God. So it's imperative that you and I have faith in our lives. Faith that God is concerned about your everyday life. Faith that God worries about where you are and what you're doing and who your friends are and what you're saying or how you're acting. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and that reward is eternal life. And that's a reward worth working for. To please our Heavenly Father, we must obey that first great commandment of God. And each one of you know what that is. To love the Lord thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength. Now that's pretty strong language. With all of thy might, love thy Lord. With all of thy strength, love thy Lord. With all of thy mind, love thy Lord. With all of thy soul and thy heart, love thy Lord. Put Him into all decisions that we make. Put Him into all actions that we make. And by doing so, I guarantee that you will please Him. I guarantee you will please Him. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then it goes on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Not just part of them, but all the law and the prophets. In Galatians, don't worry about it. Brother says, don't worry about the clock, but the clock is always there, and it just keeps going and going and going, doesn't it? In Galatians, the fifth chapter, starting with the 14th verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I can guarantee you this morning that you're not going to please our Heavenly Father if you're not obeying this commandment. You're not going to please your Heavenly Father if you have aught against your neighbor. That if you have hate in your heart for some of your fellow beings. And I liked what I heard this morning. Even though there may be some disagreement because of what's written in this book, or Latter-day Revelation, even if there is disagreement, we still must have love in our hearts for one another, or we cannot please our Heavenly Father. We can't do it. And I can assure you another thing, that just because someone disagrees with you or don't see the Scriptures exactly the same way, that does not make him an agent of the devil. That does not make him an agent of the devil. Because I dare say if that were the case, every one of us would be an agent of the devil, because we all see a little bit differently. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And the things that we want to do is serve our Heavenly Father. The things that we want to do is to please Him. But if we get into these other things, we can't please Him, because we lose sight of our goal. And our goal is eternal life. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because these things do not please our Heavenly Father. These things are an abomination in His sight. And if you do these things, you have no chance to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now these are the things that you should strive to do. These are the attributes that you should have in your life, because in so having, you shall please Him. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Strive to please God by putting these things into your life. And these things that are above, put them out of your life. Put them aside. For they will not lead you to God. They will not lead you to your goal of eternal life. They will lead you to hell and damnation. Over in the fourth chapter of 1 John, starting with the 16th verse, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." And don't we want to stand before our Heavenly Father with boldness, knowing that that on this earth we did those things that pleased him? On this earth we loved one another. On this earth we showed charity to our fellow man. On this earth we had mercy in our hearts. Because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he feared. There's a wedge between those two statements. You can't say I love God and say I hate my brother. Because you're a liar. One of those statements cannot be true. So if you have aught with your brother, put it away from you. In so doing, you will please our Heavenly Father. For if he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love also his brother. And to please God we must obey. We must obey. The Bible tells us that whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And keeping his word is obedience. Obedience to those things that he has told us to do. And it's not a long list. It's not a long list of things that we have to do to please our Heavenly Father. And we're told in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, those things that we must do. And some of the things we must do is to be baptized, as I said in the first. By one having authority and be baptized by immersion. He tells us we have to do that. He tells us that we have to have hands laid upon our heads for the reception of the Holy Ghost. And we do that. He tells us we must love one another. That's a commandment. So any time that we see in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, that we must do something, then, brothers and sisters, to please our Heavenly Fathers, we must do that. Now, I'm not going to go through the Bible and Book of Mormon this morning and pick out each one of those and rehearse them to you. Because I believe that through the Spirit that God has given to each one of us who are members of this church, that we know when we're doing something against the commandment of God. He gives it through the Holy Ghost. One reading out of 1 Thessalonians. And it's on chapter 5. Starting at the 14th verse, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. And to please our Heavenly Father, that's what we have to do, is follow that which is good. Both among yourselves and to all men, rejoice evermore. That's a commandment, to rejoice evermore. We have the most wonderful thing that mankind can have. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should rejoice and thank our Heavenly Father for that marvelous gift that He has given us. And then it says, pray without ceasing, a commandment. Pray without, have that prayer in your heart as you go about your daily work. You go about your daily activities. Whatever they may be, have a prayer in your heart. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks for those things. To please our Heavenly Father, a simple thank you, Father, for those things that you have given me goes a long way. Just as when you give your child something, or if you give someone else something, how good it makes you feel when they just say, thank you. The same thing. I mean, we probably think we don't see our Heavenly Father, so He won't know whether we're thankful or not. But all He is waiting for us to do is say, thank you, Father, for that which you have given me. And you will please Him by that. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Our Heavenly Father has given us the Scriptures that we, through prayer, may prove all things. And it pleases Him when we do this. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John, the second chapter, I want to read just a couple of verses, 15 through 17. And it tells you, love not the world. You know, there's many things out here in this world that look good to us. There's many things out there that the devil uses to tempt us. But if we love these things, if we pursue those things, then we're not pleasing God, but we're pleasing the devil. And we know that the devil cannot give us eternal life. The devil can't give us a place in heaven. So we must do those things that Christ tells us to do. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To please our Heavenly Father, we must meet together often. We must meet together often to encourage one another, to help one another, to sing songs, to pray to Him, to hear things from the pulpit that encourage and give us hope and give us instruction that we may be able to please Him. And we may be able to pray often, to pray mightily, to pour out our hearts to God. And the little boy's right, it's almost time. We must regulate our lives to be able to know and receive the revelations of God. And we must study. We must study what's in the Bible and Book of Mormon revelation. We must study to show ourselves approved. We must be able to talk intelligently to the world about Jesus Christ and about this marvelous gospel that you and I have. One of the biggest sins, I believe, is for us to have this marvelous thing and want to keep it to ourselves. For one of God's great commandments is to spread His word to those who don't know. And that's not only my duty as a minister of Jesus Christ, but that's your duty also as a member of His kingdom. And I'll tell you that you will please our Heavenly Father by obeying that commandment. We have a duty to try to go on towards perfection. Oh, I know it's a battle. For some of us, it's a big battle. It's an uphill battle. But God commanded, "Be ye therefore perfect." And so that should be the thing that we strive for. To try to gain that perfection. Says you are commanded to be perfect even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. You know, following these things that I've talked about this morning will not only help us please God, but through our examples we may help others that they want to come in to also please our Heavenly Father. Second Peter, first chapter, third verse. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's what we want to do. We want to please our Heavenly Father enough that He helps us that we may escape these things that are in the world, these pollutions, this corruption. I'm going to turn over to page 351 for my last reading this morning out of the Book of Mormon. Starting at the 27th through the 30th verse. It's on page 351. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. And these are the attributes that you and I have to have to please our Heavenly Father. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life. Having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day to enter into His rest. And I'm going to use as a closing this morning a poem of Helen Steiner Rice's, and it's entitled, "How Great the Yield from a fertile field. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that we be that fertile field. The farmer plows through the fields of green, and the blade of the plow is sharp and keen. But the seed must be sown to bring forth grain, for nothing is born without suffering and pain. And God never plows in the soul of man without intention and purpose and plan. So whenever you feel the plow's sharp blade, let not your heart be sorely afraid. For like the farmer, God chooses a field from which he expects an excellent yield. So rejoice though your heart is broken in two. God seeks to bring forth a rich harvest in you. Thank you very much.